Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Wow, final hour of the show today. Flying by. Having a lot of fun with the guys. Love being here filming for Jim. Thank you for listening. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Had Mitchell Trubisky earlier on the program. Had the talented GM for the Portland Trailblazers, Neil Olshey, earlier on the program. And another great guest, one of my favorites, Dan Plesac at MLB Network. Talk a little baseball with us in 15 or 20 minutes. And we'll circle back at the end of the show, at the end of the hour, to that Sixers-Raptors game last night and the disappearing act, the continued amazing shrinking of Kyle Lowry. If you want to give us a call, love to hear from you, 1-800-636-8686, rome@haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter at Jim Rome. I'm filling in Bill Ryder with you, sports writer, sports, and my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R, website jimrome.com. I host a radio show here on CBS Sports Radio at night, 6 to 10 Eastern, 3 to 7 Pacific on the beautiful West Coast. And CBS Sports HQ has a streaming sports network and a show there called Writer's Block because every single thing involving my name is required contractually to involve a pun on the word writer. Yeah, I've heard it. Writer than no one. I get it. It's cool. It's fine. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Let me start with this baseline for this conversation. The Warriors are, and I'm a child of Jordan. I'm 41. I grew up between Dubuque, Iowa, and the suburbs of Chicago, Aurora, Naperville, Illinois, back and forth. And everything that I believe about, or at least that I began believing about, and every ounce of love I have for the NBA, it comes from being a Jordan fan. Family's from Chicago. Grandfather worked in the stockyards there. Met my grandmother there. Cubs fan. Bulls fan back in the day. It's kind of gone away, but Bulls fan back in the day. Bears fan. And the greatness of Michael Jordan, for me, isn't lost because it's history for a lot of folks. Because a lot of younger folks than me, millennials in particular, haven't seen it. And I say all of that to say this. I don't take lightly what I'm about to say. But if the Warriors aren't the best team in the history of the NBA, they're the second. And it's a close call. In the old parlor game, which is kind of over and a little stale now, who would win in a series against the Bulls and the Warriors? The answer doesn't matter if you're having the conversation. What matters is the fact that conversation exists speaks to the challenge of getting past Golden State today. For those teams that do operate in 2019 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. And so for the Houston Rockets, who really are, and again, we throw these words around, but I think it's true, genius. The Rockets, as they're constructed now and really last year, the opus of Daryl Morey's pretty significant basketball genius. That guy played mad scientist. You know, Dwight Howard didn't work. The fact that he was able to pry away from Sam Presti, maybe the most important guy in that trio that was in Oklahoma City, in James Harden, getting Chris Paul, everything he's done, will be for nothing if they do not win a single basketball game tomorrow against the Golden State Warriors. Because the window's closing, man. And there's a few reasons for that. And again, not easy to beat the Golden State Warriors in a vacuum when everything goes well. So you have bad luck, you have injuries, you're in deep trouble. Because nobody cares who got hurt. Do you know why the Jordan flu game is a thing forever? Because we remember it. Most games where people are injured or sick or hurt, we don't remember them because they lose. And losers don't get to have a place in our history. Not usually. The winners write history. It doesn't matter. Life's unfair. That's part of the deal. Chris Paul got hurt last year. Yeah, that sucks, Houston. You're not champions. Houston conjured up a report with analytics proving they were NBA champions, but not for the officials. You're just embarrassing yourselves. This is what the Rockets are up against. The best or second best team in the history of the NBA. And if you want to, you know, get into the semantics, the most formidable, we can go there. the injury to Chris Paul last year and now the James Harden eye thing. And I know Harden played well in game two. He was really efficient. His eye was hurt. That's a problem. And the panic that has started to set in. And this is an old topic. Jim hit it, I hit it, everybody's hit it. But that complaining after game one where Harden came out and said, I just want a chance, you just took away a little bit of your chance by showing your belly to the Warriors. Great teams, the Jordans and the Warriors, the Patriots, the Spurs in their day, they feast as much on your weakness as their own strength. Tiger, again, hell yeah. And the Rockets have shown themselves to be doubters of themselves. And that's not because they don't think they can beat the Golden State Warriors. It's because they know they can't probably after this year. Point guards are supposed to really hit a wall at 32. And it can be a dramatic, dramatic shift. And I know we're in an age where guys are pushing back against time. See Tiger Woods. See Tom Brady. See Roger Federer. Probably in... He had a great year. No one talked about it. See LeBron James, whatever, 5 years from now. That's Cyborg from the future. They're still the exceptions and not the rule. They just are. And the quarterback position in the NFL, it really dominates how we think about sports across every level and every sport. Quarterbacks are protected physically now by the NFL in a way that point guards are not in the NBA. It's a different thing. You know what happens on Monday? Chris Paul turns 34 years old. I don't care how good James Harden is. You don't have a secondary star, you're not going to get it done. And the decision, and I think he's a genius, but geniuses do really silly things because they're the smartest guy in the room, so they don't listen to the people that aren't as smart, that might have a good idea. No Trevor Ariza, no Luke Bamute. Guess what? That is significant. You got those guys to hassle the Warriors, especially on the perimeter. Maybe you're not down 2-0. The Houston Rockets could turn out to be, I think will turn out to be, the best team to never win an NBA championship. Maybe along with the Utah Jazz. And that's another thing that greatness does. It steals the glory from teams and players who are used to, and not even used to, capable of bending history and the game and outcomes to their will. Another testament to the Warriors. I don't care if Durant leaves next year. The Rockets' window doesn't extend beyond now. There are teams in the West that are on the rise. You're going to see a much more difficult Western Conference in the years ahead. When Durant goes, you know, to the Knicks and becomes the guy that leads a team that is the third seed every year and gets blown out in the second round of the playoffs, you're still going to have a Warriors team that's very well constructed and competitive. A colleague of mine made the comparison, minus Durant, they become the Spurs. They don't win every year, but they're a threat to win every year. The Rockets' moment is now. And here's the other reason Houston's contest tomorrow, showdown, is about more than just game three. It's about everything. A lot of people can handle failure. But how you succeed or fail, it becomes muscle memory. When I was a writer, I had some shots at television. And I eventually worked at Fox Sports 1 on a TV show there. No longer around, probably, because they made the decision to put me on there. But anyway, the first few times that I did television, I failed so badly. So embarrassing, sweating like from broadcast news, using that film. Just, I had a very famous TV producer come down and scream at me in front of a lot of people, be your bleeping self, which did not happen after that screaming. And the reason I'm talking to you, the reason I got a job at FS1, is because I got a call from the Jim Rome Show. I thought it was a prank, too. It's like, oh, this is obnoxious. Which jerk is this? Ken, is that you from Dubuque? It's not funny, man. No, it really was somebody from the Jim Rome Show. They wanted me to come out and be on Jim's TV show. CBS Sports Network did back in the day. And Jeff Goodman was there, and we were both really nervous. And you know what Jim Rome is? He's a pro who has a great culture. And you come in, and you just, he makes you look good. And I looked back at that take back actually a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't good, but I thought I was. That was the key. Jim made me think I was a lot better than I was. And I got some confidence, and I've been lucky enough to have some success. And by the way, I'm not just saying this because I'm filling in for Jim. The reason I got hired at FS1, I got told this because the guy in charge saw me on that show. It's like, well, if Jim thinks you're good enough to come back, we thought we'd give you a chance. Jim literally changed my life. But the lesson for me was, it wasn't about what I could do as much as what I thought I could do. The belief of it. And I have friends and colleagues who didn't have the opportunity to pick up the phone and hear it's Jim Rome on the other, or Jim Rome's folks on the other end, who were more talented, are more talented than me, who just didn't make it, had a couple failures, and it broke them. That's happening to James Harden before our eyes. The guy is a wizard in the regular season. People can't defend. He literally is. He's not defendable. He is. This Rockets team is the perfect extension of Morey's vision, the GM, Daryl Morey. And James Harden is the perfect. He's the tip of the spear of Mike D'Antoni's genius. The three-point shooting. The efficiency. The proficiency. The body control. Getting to the free throw line. The way that he seems to be Neo in the Matrix in slow motion. He's not the fastest guy on the floor, but it's like he's operating with different rules of physics. It all vanishes in the playoffs. The thing that struck me entirely about game one wasn't whether or not Harden got fouled. It was the fact that he shot 32% from the field. Again, another 9 of 28 night. Harden is starting to get to that point because he's a guy. He's a dude. He's a human being. No matter how much money he makes, no matter how much success he has, no matter how many Kardashians he dates or breaks up with or whatever's going on in that disaster pool, these guys care about the way that they're assessed in history. When you get to that level that Harden's at, when you're an MVP, you're not trying to be the best player on your team. That's set. You're not trying to have generational wealth for your family and your family's family. That's set. You're trying to test yourself, trying to sharpen yourself against the whetstone of playoff basketball. And guys that can't do it again and again and again, it breaks those guys. We saw this with the Clippers, the Lob City Clippers. We saw, I mean, there's so many examples throughout the game. If James Harden can't get to an NBA championship, let alone win one, when he's playing next to, I think, the most or the second most talented modern era, I didn't see Bob Cousy, point guard in the history of the game in Chris Paul, with a brilliant GM who outthought the game, and a head coach in Mike D'Antoni whose vision shaped the way basketball is played today, having come up short, up 3-2 last year, it's not going to happen. That's why he's complaining about the officiating. That's why Chris Paul is bumping officials. It's not about the panic of this series. It's not about the walls closing in 2019. It's about the walls closing full stop. Talent is not everything. And I like this guy, but I'm going to use him as a reference anyway. He's a joke now. He's a punchline. He had issues. But Ryan Leaf didn't lack talent. Talent's just not a guarantee that it'll execute properly. You have to have a will of stone. You have to have luck. You have to have the right teammates. You have to have the right time in history. I think Damian Lillard today is a better point guard by far than Chris Paul. I think Lillard's... I think there's an argument. Steph's a point guard for me still, and I'm a Steph guy, but there's an argument Lillard's the second best point guard in the NBA. I would take Lillard over Kyrie Irving in a heartbeat. But you know what? You know what's never going to happen? I don't think Lillard's ever going to win an NBA championship because he's going to stay in Portland. Harden's not cursed with that problem. Harden got the team, he got the teammates, he got the coach, he got the opportunity, he got the window. And he's talking about fouls, and I know his eye got scratched. It doesn't matter. So, Rockets fans, this ain't hate. This is rooting for you. I'd love to see the Warriors lose. I'm bored. Aren't you bored? I like going to the Bay as much as the next guy for most of June. I'm over it. If the Rockets do not win that game tomorrow, the window closes on what Daryl Morey built, period. Period. It's over. It's done. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. We got to talk some baseball. What is going on with Bryce Harper? And is Cody Bellinger really Ted Williams? Is that a real thing? Dan Plesac from MLB Network, Dan's a good dude, going to give us a little insight from the majors when we come back to the Jim Rome Show in a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Filling in for Jim Rome, here on CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Love the huge tweet. Also, Love Dan Plesac, the former pitcher, now over at MLB Network, an analyst there, friend of the show that I host at night, Rider than You, 6 to 10 Eastern Time. Dan, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, not too much. Everything good. This baseball season kind of getting into full swing right now, so things are kind of shaking themselves out. A couple of surprise teams. The Twins, a little bit of a surprise. The Red Sox, a surprise in a negative way, but we're off and running with baseball.
You know, it's amazing. I love Bellinger. I'm a huge Cody Bellinger guy because of my time in L.A. and being around that Dodgers team. But even I thought at some point it was going to cool off. What do you make, Dan, of what some people have called the best start in the history of Major League Baseball?
Best player in the game right now. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to argue down the road at Anaheim saying, no, it's Mike Trout, but I'm going to tell you, he's really figured it out. You go back to the postseason a couple of years ago, and I thought that experienced Houston Astros rotation kind of took advantage. They found a weak spot, that little up and in area. They were crowding him in the middle part of the plate, and he was not making any adjustments, swinging and missing. What has been most important to me, Bill, he's been cutting his swing down with two strikes. He has more two-strike base hits than anybody in the game of baseball right now. Listen, he's not going to end the year hitting over 400, but he's doing damage. Think about it. He's a gold glover at first. He can play gold glove right. He can play a gold glove center all around right now. He might be the best player in the game.
Wow, Dan Plesac here on the show. So, Dan, even if the guy's not going to get 400, Cody Bellinger, MVP, MVP candidate, terms we should get accustomed to in the years ahead.
No doubt about it. Now, right now, listen, I know the season doesn't end the first week of May, but if the season ended right now, he would be a runaway NL MVP. He's on a good team. He's turned himself into a great player on a good team. Think about this. The Dodgers now, they are a game in front of the Diamondbacks, and they've got little or nothing as far as production-wise out of Justin Turner at third base. They're going to win the West. They're just the best team in the West. They have a lot of depth. This is a team that even start the year with Clayton Kershaw, started the year on the injured list. They've got plenty of pitching. They're going to get Rich Hill back. They just have too much depth. But I'm going to give you a team to watch out for. San Diego Padres, if their young pitching starts to come around, look out. They could be a problem child. I don't think they can win the West, but I do think they have a shot at one of the wild card spots.
Oh, I love that. Dan Plesac here on the show. You can watch Dan on MLB tonight at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, leading up to the Nationals at Phillies game. MLB Tonight airs 7 days a week, and MLB Network is airing more than 40 games this month. Speaking of the Phillies, and I asked this, Dan, as a fan of the guy, a fan of the sport, and somebody heavily invested in fantasy baseball in this man's world, what is going on with Bryce Harper right now?
Well, you know what? He's kind of been Jekyll and Hyde the last 2 years. If we go back and look at before last year, before he won the home run derby, there was the raging debate, should he be on the All-Star team or not? He was having a down year. He parlayed that home run derby into a much better second half of the season. And he's never really been a guy that's hit for the consistency of a Manny Machado, of a Mike Trout, of a Cody Bellinger. You know, it's been hot and cold. You're going to have a lot of home runs with a lower batting average. You're going to have some extra base hits. But, you know, to me, he's been running really hot and really cold. And for the first time earlier this week, he was booed at home by the Philly faithful. He's had some miscues out in the field, batting average around 230 right now, and that doesn't seem like the Philly fans, that's what they're expecting out of him. He's a good player, but I always felt like it almost takes a player 1 year, either via trade or free agency, to get used to the new surroundings. And not only the surroundings, but the fans and the coaches that have seen a guy that when he struggles go, okay, he's going to snap out of this because we've seen him do this before. But when you're a fan of the Phillies and you see him struggling like he has the last week to 10 days, you don't look at the whole sample size. You're just thinking, what the hell is wrong with this guy making over $300 million?
Dan Plesac on the show. Dan, you brought up the Red Sox, and normally the sort of knee-jerk equation is if the Red Sox are struggling, they just have to catch the Yankees. The Rays are playing well, but not just this year. You go back to mid-August last year, they're the best team and one of the best teams in baseball over, if you include that stretch last season, a pretty large sample size. At what point in Boston do you start pushing and thinking about the panic button?
I think in about the next week to 10 days, because I think at about 40 games, you have a pretty good idea of what your team is right now. The Red Sox right now are 4 games under, 14 and 18. They lost a heartbreaker last night in Chicago game. They were winning 4-3. They end up losing that game. Delmonico hits a 3-run walk-off for the White Sox. The reason that I would be concerned, because the Rays might have 1, 2, 3, the best three starting pitchers in the division. Charlie Morton has been a huge addition. Blake Snell's had a little bit of an injury-riddled thing. He had a broken finger that he's trying to come back from. He's had one good start, one bad start. But remember the name, Tyler Glasnow, might be the best starting pitcher right now in the American League. Upward and mid-90s fastball, a good hard breaking ball, and a changeup. Tyler Glasnow right now, if he continues to get better between Glasnow, Snell, and Morton, they're the best 1-2-3 combo in the AL East.
Dan, speaking of pitching, two of the best pitchers in baseball, certainly last year, I think the two guys that started the All-Star game, if I remember correctly, Chris Sale and Max Scherzer, really struggling. In either case, do you see something that leads you to believe with these guys that it's just a statistical anomaly and things are going to be fine?
I just think Scherzer's thrown the ball better than his numbers look. His one-loss record, his ERA, is a little higher than we've seen. It's been a big pitch in some tough luck. He also hasn't gotten any help when he's come out of games with guys on base from his bullpen. I'd be more concerned with Chris Sale. His velocity's down. Forget the 0-5 record. You're not seeing the swings and misses that we've seen before. I'm going to be real anxious to see in the next 3 or 4 starts with Chris Sale if that velocity goes from 91-92 back up to 94-95, because I just think he's going to have a hard time stringing some things together, throwing at 88 to 91 miles an hour, and that's all he's thrown. His last start was better, his velocity was better, and he was able to go 7 innings, and he was better as the game went on. So if you're a fan of the Red Sox, you're hoping that what you saw at the end of his last start is the beginning of him turning it around. But there has to be some concern, because with the great pitchers, when they have 1 or 2 bad starts, you go, wow, that's kind of a shocker. But it becomes 3, 4, and 5 times, velocity's down, the swings and misses are down, it's cause for concern.
Dan, what do you make of the hype? And it is intense for Vlad Guerrero Jr.
He's been the most hyped player for the Toronto Blue Jays, I think, in the history of their club. And you look at the Blue Jays, they've had some tremendous players that they've developed. George Bell, Jesse Barfield, Lloyd Mosby, Tony Fernandez. The list goes on and on. John Olerud, of players that they drafted or signed that came to their system. He's gotten off. You know, listen, there was a lot of hype. And I love the bat. The guy, his ball to bat skills are incredible. He's kind of gotten a little taste of some humble pie here the last 4 or 5 games. You know, there's a lot of hoopla his first game. He gets the double that ends up being the tying run in a big game that the Blue Jays came back and won. But he's going through what a lot of young players go through. It's just not as easy as being all hyped up. What has surprised me? Really good arm strength, and for a big guy, he's pretty mobile and fragile, moving around, agile, moving around third base. My concern with him right now, when you look at him physically, is he going to be able to keep his weight down? Because he looks like he plays at a heavy weight right now, and very rarely do you see, with the exception maybe of Tony Gwynn, guys that are kind of the heavier set guys. I'd like to see him trim down a little bit if he could.
Dan Plesac on the program, MLB Network analyst. Dan, Before I let you run, my Cubbies in a pretty interesting division, the Cardinals. The Cardinals are always good. We sort of lose track of that. They missed the playoffs for a few years. We forget their consistency. Brewers last year showed their mettle, especially down the stretch. Who do you like in that division over the long
Cubs.
Run?
Listen, they got off to a bad start. They have what nobody else in the division has. They have really good starting pitching. Now, do they have depth? Listen, there aren't very many teams in baseball that have depth, but as bad as the rotation was the first 2 weeks, Cole Hamels is throwing great. Kyle Hendricks has thrown the ball better. John Lester might be the greatest free agent baseball signing in the history of Chicago sports. I'm not kidding you. Between the White Sox and Cubs, right now John Lester, he has delivered above and beyond. And I think Yu Darvish, his last start, he's starting to show signs of getting better. So between that rotation, when you have Lester, Quintana, Hamels, Hendricks, and Yu Darvish, they're by far the best, and the sport, they're by far head and shoulders better than the Cardinals and the Brewers starting pitching. They're starting to hit. Look out. The big blue train, they're going to roll. I think they're going to win the Central.
All right, Dan, if I were forced to bet every dollar on earth, limited though they may be, on who will win more World Series the next 10 years, Dodgers or Cubs, very quickly, who you point my money toward?
Dodgers.
They're going to get one, huh? Finally?
Yeah, they're going to get one. They're too good. They have too much talent. They've accumulated. They have too many good arms. Bellinger starting to come to his own. Jock Peterson starting to come to his own. Their cycle is trending upward, so I think the Dodgers.
Dan Plesac, we'll be watching MLB tonight. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for being on the Jim Rome Show.
Anytime. You got it. Take care.
Dan Plesac on the program. I was really fishing for a Cubs. I was fishing for a Cubs answer. I was fishing for the Cubs. I got my. You know what? I don't care if I'm a terrible fan. Give me some Budweiser. Give me Wrigley. I got one. We're cool. I don't even mind if the Cardinals win a World. That's how. Oh yeah, no, that's the real deal. All right, I mind if the Cardinals win one, but as long as the Brewers can have one, I'm good. We got our one. Want to talk a little Sixers Raptors here on the Jim Rome Show? 1-800-636-8686. Bill Ryder filling in, hanging out with the guys, having some fun. Why the Sixers? It surprised me. I thought the Raptors would get it done. The secret weapon for the Sixers, and I'll give you a hint. He's on the other team. When we come back to the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio after this CBS Sports Radio update. Of the week of the show, Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in, having a great time. Thank you for hanging out and being here. Thank you to Adam Hawk, Garrett Ritt, and Alvin DeLauro for making this. You guys make it really easy. You really do. Tom DeCelestino and Stuart Kovacs back in New York City. Stu's the man. You know, Stu's an interesting guy. Stuart Kovacs, my executive producer, probably 26 when I first met him. Sweaters, very Mr. Rogers, took a turn to motorcycles. We call them spikes and bikes around the office now. Some leather, some chains, some spikes. Stuart Kovacs, CBS. Everybody's got an edgy side. Like for me, I don't know if it's edgy. That's a little edgy the way that I perform it. I'm a poker player. I love poker. And I'm that guy that plays really tight at the poker table, but is just extraordinarily rude. I once played in a poker game. I told this story on the air the other day on the show that I host, CBS Sports Radio, a 6 to 10 writer than you. I once got a guy kicked out of a poker room in Des Moines by basically being a bad guy and a jerk to sort of take his money, put him on tilt, and have him removed. Then I went to a home game in a barn about 6 months later with 30 guys, and it was his barn. It's like a rounders moment. I almost didn't survive. And I'm thinking about trying to do a little World Series of Poker. Adam Hawk, could you be lured into a little, I don't know, like a 888 in Vegas? Could I get you a little road trip? You in? All right. Just got to find someone to pay for it. I don't know who that person is. That's the only problem. It's time to answer your Ask the Pros question. Were you the clones? Get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/ askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Ken from Raleigh asks, which East Coast conference team has the best chance to beat the Warriors? You know, Ken, thanks for the question. I really want the answer to be the Milwaukee Bucks. I love the way that they built this team. They went out and they got it in Mike Budenholzer, a former coach of the year. And everybody, we all do, if we're lucky enough, sort of rise to your level of incompetence. And you can make the argument that happened to Budenholzer when he became the head of basketball operations in Atlanta. It's kind of a mess there. But as a head coach, just as the head coach, the guy was a coach of the year for a reason. It's clicked. Giannis is a really special talent. In the regular season, the Bucks had the best defensive rating in the NBA and the fourth best offense in the NBA. If you're in the top five in both, historically, you're in a finals. But I don't think they have the depth. They've had some injuries. They're new to the postseason in terms of just having success of late. Last year, we're in, lost in the first round. I want to tell you, Toronto, I thought it was going to be Toronto. I mean, we've seen the last time Kawhi Leonard, before this run, was healthy, the Spurs had a big lead against the Warriors. But I think the actual answer is the Sixers or the Celtics if they play the best version of basketball that they can. I think Philly and Boston are a lot less likely to be consistent in a seven-game series. I think they are a lot more likely to be knocked off their balance a little bit because of some chemistry issues, which is a real thing. But the Bucks at their best, right, at what we've seen, consistently what made them the best statistical team in the NBA this year, they're not beating the Warriors, a healthy Warriors team in seven. They're not. And Toronto, it feels like the same thing. But if the Sixers play the way they played last night, if the Celtics can be the team that last year made a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals and implement without the flat earth, the world revolves around me condescension of Kyrie Irving, to say nothing of Gordon Hayward at times, looking like the guy they thought they brought in from Utah. I think that either of those teams, best version of the Sixers, best version of the Celtics, can win, I don't know, 1.5 out of 10 seven-game series against the Warriors. I said this earlier in the show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. The biggest and only weakness to the Warriors is the Warriors. It's Kevin Durant. Or it's Draymond Green getting so frustrated, he starts pulling, kicking guys where the sun don't shine moves again. It's not going to be Steph. You know, one of the things about Steph Curry that I don't think gets the appreciation that it deserves, and Mark Medina, who used to cover the Lakers here in L.A. and now covers the Warriors for the San Jose Mercury News, Mark_Medina, really good follow if you want to follow somebody who really covers a team with just an eye to giving you real insight and real perspective, wrote a story, I would say it's 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, on how Steph's impact on the Warriors, for everything we see on the floor, and the guy's a two-time MVP, I voted for him both times, unanimous MVP, we know all the resume building, for everything he does on the floor, he's more important off the floor. That Steph created the culture that led to the Warriors' way. That he's a star who can take over a game but also will enhance and lift the guys around him at sort of the by subsuming his own ego. Brought in Durant, deferred to him. Brought in DeMarcus Cousins, or they brought him in. And if you look at the sort of numbers and the splits, Steph's numbers went way down and people tried to make the case they're not very good when Boogie's in the lineup. It's not true. Steph took, I think it's 40% fewer shots because he's trying to make Boogie healthy. That is the most important part of the Warriors. And what Steph Curry has done behind the scenes, be try to be a bridge builder between Durant and Draymond. But we've seen Steph Curry lose on the basketball floor when he's overmatched. It happens. And he may be overmatched in his attempts to play peacemaker in that Warriors locker room. That's how the Warriors lose. But to answer your question, appreciate the question, I think it's the Sixers or the Celtics. I thought Toronto, I thought they were going to roll. I mean, the name of the show that I host at night is Writer Than You. You can make all the jokes you want. I make them too. But I'm Writer Than Nobody on this one. I really pushed the idea. I thought the Raptors would get help from Siakam, and they did. And there's a couple truisms, but one of them is if you have the best player on the floor on any given night in the NBA, you got a chance to win that game. And Kawhi Leonard's been so good. I just forgot. Probably because I like him. He's a good dude. Doesn't matter. No correlation. I wish there was. No correlation between being a good person and being good at your job in this world. It's another reason I'm such a Jim Rome fan, because he's a good guy. And I'm telling you, in my business, in any your business, that is not a guarantee. It's just not a guarantee. Jim is really good to writers and to people in the business, gracious to me in my career. And it's not like Jim and I are neighbors or know each other that well, right? He's just a good dude. And Kyle Lowry's a good dude. Unfortunately, he doesn't share a propensity with Jim Rome and other successful people for being successful when it's hard. This is going to be harsh, but I don't want to lie to you. Lowry sucks in the playoffs, man. He's just not very good. Last night's game was such a letdown and such a disaster. And the thing that's really shocking to me about how badly Lowry plays, and it goes against what I not only want to believe, what I do believe about the postseason, about sports in general, is that most guys, not everybody, but most guys have to fail to get to the best version of themselves. It's just the way that it goes. You know, LeBron, and I reference that so often because I covered it, he lost an NBA Finals against the Mavericks because he choked, because he abdicated his responsibility, because he tried to hide in the corner, which is hard to do, you know, on a basketball floor. And I was pretty merciless as a columnist to him at the time. and on this show, actually, at the time. But it also turned him into the most relentless finals player I've ever seen against those Warriors teams. And sports is filled with so many of those examples. Tom Brady would tell you that, and I don't buy this, but would tell you that the Deflategate thing was garbage and the humiliation was real and missing those four games was a stain on his reputation. And that's the reason at the age beyond 40, he won an MVP and has won Super Bowls. That it fueled him. I buy that part of it. But for some reason, Lowry, having been through so many postseason opportunities, so many losses, a near miss, and I covered that series where the Raptors took LeBron and the Cavs to Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they lost that Game 6 at home. Lowry's been just were bad every single time. Closeout games, big games, he utterly disappears. And if you're trying to make an NBA Finals, if you're trying to beat really good teams, and one of your two or three most important guys, and Lowry is important, if not their second best player, becomes an imitation of himself, you're not going to win a playoff series. And that's a mistake that I made. Now maybe Kawhi can put that Raptors team on his back and carry them through because he's that talented. I would take, of all the players playing in the playoffs right now, so this obviously excludes some pretty good players, including LeBron James, I'm taking Kawhi Leonard, who's playing right now. But Kawhi's not going to be able to carry his guys if the Sixers play 80% of how they played last night. If the Sixers stumble, if Embiid's stomach hurts again, if Embiid gets hurt, if Butler has a really bad night but keeps shooting, maybe Kawhi carries him. But he's not going to get the help that he needs. That bench mob has vanished. Siakam, it's a lot to ask, but Siakam has been hit or miss. And he was hit last night. He was, I think, 7 of 15. He had a good night last night. Lowry was an utter and total disaster. 2 of 10, 7 points. You need to be scoring 7 points in the fourth quarter for your team to win these games. Didn't hit a 3-point shot. Brutal. Think about how much fun. I can't wait for this, and I hope that they let me come back. I'm talking to you at some point about this reality. Think how much fun the NBA is going to be if and when the Warriors aren't, if the playoffs aren't an actual just coronation disguised as a competition. Because that's what it is. The Warriors are going to win the NBA championship. We're going to be talking about it for 2 months. How much fun it would be. How cool it would be to be looking at the Sixers and the Celtics and the Bucks and the Raptors and Houston, hell, maybe Denver, Portland, and say, you know what? They all got a chance. We're going through the sort of semantics of this thing, and that's why I really hope Kevin Durant makes a huge, colossal error in judgment and goes to the Knicks. I feel like the Knicks and Durant kind of deserve each other. And you win a championship in New York City, man, you are the guy. By the way, the huge call is sponsored by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal and feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it free at grasshopper.com. All right, so I've got a pick now. I got game winner in the Kentucky Derby. I'm feeling good about it. Feel like maybe putting some money on that. Got 9 or 10 mint juleps with my name on it tomorrow at the Kentucky Derby party. And let me say this before we sign off here on this Friday on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in. Really appreciate Jim and Adam and the guys letting me do this. It's a rush, man. It's a rush. My wife and I were talking last night. How in the world did I go from writing in Kansas City, Missouri, listening to the Jim Rome Show, to having the chance to sit in this chair? You know why? Because America is beautiful, baby, and crazy things happen. You don't deserve, but you still work at it. Thank you to Jim Rome. Thank you to all of you for hanging out. Have a great weekend. Bill Ryder with you. Appreciate you. See you next time.